today on Real Radio.
The apostles and the believers had a tremendous power, but they were very loving and very approachable. They were very healthy in the spirit. And God has promised us, we read it in the Proverbs this morning, he's not a respecter of persons. We are not to have partiality, nor does God. And what he has given them, he will give us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Just What the Doctor Ordered, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts was written by Luke, who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In chapter 4 of the Book of Acts, and also chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we learn that the first century church faced many obstacles. There were outside threats and persecution, as well as sin from within the body of believers. Now in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16, we see that Jesus wants us to be a healthy church, and it's his desire to empower us, to convert us, and heal us through the Holy Spirit. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that unbelievers were converting to Christ and added to the first church in great numbers during the Acts of the Apostles. It was because they saw the quality of life and the love that these Christians had for one another. And now continuing in his lesson called Just What the Doctor Ordered, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And I began to think about this for a minute. What if the economic thing continues? What if we're all homeless? What if we all had to go out and get tents? You know, we cash in our homes and go down to Sears and buy a tent. And in Chino Hills, we'd pitch our tent at maybe Old English Springs Park or over here at Ayala Park, and we start camping out. But, you know, it wouldn't be just me or you. It would be hundreds of us, maybe thousands of us. They had all things in common. We'd have to love one another. Do you realize that if we were sleeping in tents side by side, my family's in my tent, your family's in your tent, that we can't have a bad hair day? You can't wake up feeling grumpy. I mean, you can, but you need to get out of your flesh ASAP, because when you open the door to your tent, you're going to have 1,000 of your brothers and sisters present. You see, right now we can go home and shut the door. Nobody knows the difference. But what if we had all things in common? What if we were like the early church and we lived together like that? You know, at this point in time, the gospel is going out. People were getting converted. Those that were coming out of Judaism were experiencing funeral services for them. Are you aware of that? According to church history, if you were in a Jewish family and you got born again, your family would have a funeral for you, casket and everything. You're as good as dead, and they would never speak to you from that day on. You were ostracized from the family. You could say, Dad, it's me. I want to tell you about Jesus. He'd keep working. Wouldn't even look at you. They had funerals for those that were converted to Christianity. And then you'd lose your job. They would ostracize you. They'd excommunicate you from your job. They'd fire you. They had to live in common. My goodness, you either have it in unity or you don't. Powerful stuff. Think about it. How would we live? You get up in the morning, you step outside. What's that? What are you cooking next door? Hey, you can't do that. Don't you think if that was a scenario, what would be your major issue? I tell you, I ran through this in my mind. And you know what my major issue would be for me? Please, I would say, all of you, I would make an announcement. Seeing how we're stuck in these tents for a while, there's one thing I would ask on behalf of everybody. Grace. Be willing to forgive me. Be willing to overlook my sin. Because, brother, we'd be one. And I'd know everything about you, and you'd know everything about me. And the mandate is you have to love each other anyway. That's radical. We dress up, come on Sunday morning. Right now, look at you. Get a good look at us. This is the best we get. This is it. Everybody comes together, and we're all holy for an hour and a half. No problem. Until the air conditioner breaks. Until this fly bugs me and, I went out of here. Then the little carnal meter goes, you know, over there, aisle 2, section seat 9. You know, he can't do that. Amazing thing. They had everything in common. Beautiful movement of God's Spirit. And yet, verse 13, look, yet none of them, none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. This is a very difficult verse to interpret. The scholars have a very hard time, but the general consensus is this. Verse 13 is an insert about what is happening based upon last week's message. And this is what they believe it means. And I like it. Yet none of the rest dared join them. The word join in the Greek means to not to join unconverted. That's what that word means, not to join unconverted. Now read it again. Look at it. Verse 13, yet none of the rest dared to join them unconverted. Why? People who were not yet saved were standing back and they didn't rush into the church to join the church without being converted. Why? Because in about an hour earlier, Ananias and Sapphira had barbecued themselves in the presence of the apostles. And the news spread everywhere. God struck them dead because they were lying in the church. All of a sudden, the unconverted said, whoa, wait a minute. Before I go to any of these barbecues and any of these potlucks and these get-togethers that the church has, I'm going to make sure that I'm walking right with God. That's what the unbelievers said. That's what that word means. Can you imagine? Now, first of all, we hope that a lot of unbelievers come here and get saved. Find out that God's forgiving, God's loving, God's gracious, and wants them to heaven, and that's great. But the responsibility is to choose when you hear that message. Do I want it or do I not want it? Those who do not want it, the church needs to be so precious and holy before God that they say, hey, man, I'm backing out. I'm going to stay away from that crowd because they're too close to God. Not because we're holier than thou's, but because God's present. That is a healthy church. That is a vital church. And the unbelievers stood back in awe. Isn't that something? But it says there that they esteemed them highly. The church was very, very respected. They didn't agree with what they preached necessarily, but they saw the quality of life and the love that men had one for another in the community of Christ. And so in verses 14 to 15, we'll look at the pulse of a healthy church. It says there, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Earlier on in Acts, we saw that it said that the gospel went out and believers, the Lord added to the church daily, such as were being saved. Now it says added to the Lord. The word believers in verse 14, you ought to circle that word. It is the word in the Greek that means to be having faith in. The word literally means to cling to rely upon, to trust in. It paints a picture in the Greek to pull up a chair and plop down on it, not even given second thought. This morning you came in here and you sat down on those chairs, and not one of you said, gee, I don't know if this is going to be able to hold me. Honey, will you sit on this for a moment and see if it's going to be able to hold me? You didn't think. You came in here and sat down on it. That's the exact same word that is necessary to have faith in Jesus Christ. You may not understand everything, but you're going to come to him. You're going to trust him. You're going to lean on him. That type of believer, you know, Jesus told us in Matthew 13 that there are some who believe for a while and they give up and go back into the world. But now these guys are committed to Christ. They're trusting in him, not for the miracle's sake. They're believing in who he is. They cling to him. And it says, believers were increasingly, the word means in great degrees, increasingly added to the church. The word added means to be glued to keep the company with, or to find a home. Isn't that neat? You ever been church hopping? Don't you hate that? You got a collection of bulletins. You're doing, you know, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Let's pray about it. I don't know. What are the kids? How are the kids? And usually the kids love it and the parents can't stand it. Or the parents, vice versa, and it's just a mess. Church, it's like looking for a job. It's terrible. It's hard. Man, when these guys got converted, the word added means, it's kaleo in the Greek, and it means to be glued together, to keep company with, to find a home. I see a picture in my mind, that guy at the edge of the pool with a nasty plunge, falls backwards. Yeah! Beautiful. The Spirit of God's moving. The Bible tells us, you know it. We know it too well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would cling to, rely upon, trust in him, hang on tightly, would not perish but have everlasting life, and you'd experience this blessing of God in your life. And it says, and this is encouraging, multitudes of both men and women. Isn't that amazing? It says we're added. We just lost Ananias and Sapphira, a man and a woman. Now the book of Acts says, but men and women were added to the church. This is the first mention. And by the way, Luke, writing the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, makes reference to women more often than any other gospel writer. I think that's significant. It says in verse 15, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Isn't that weird? And you begin to look at this and you find out something about the life of a healthy church. We got the heart, we got the pulse, we got the life of a healthy church. People are being ministered to so prolifically, so much. The homeless are being fed. The gospel's going out. The body's being ministered, and this part of the body is taking care of that part of the body. And when this part of the body can't pay their light bill, this part of the body covers it, and everything's going on. They are loving. And there's a difference. The church is being blessed. The church is lively. The church is growing. All of these people here, and they come, and they want to be touched. And the thing is, there was an ancient belief, and it still clings to the Mideast today, and it's considered an oriental custom or belief, that when the shadow of a bad man crossed your path, then that evil in his life would visit you. If the shadow of somebody good crossed your path, then you would receive some of their good. And it's interesting because in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, the angel came and told Mary, the shadow of the Almighty will come upon you. And she knew what that meant in that part of the world. It meant that part, the shadow that would come upon, you'd become part of that. I'm sure she didn't understand just how much so. And then concluding this and wrapping this part up, we are to be ministers. And I think for a moment, the shadow, my goodness, there's people you and I come in contact with every day. What do they think about us? If we were to talk to children, I sat my daughter down last night and I said, how do you know that Daddy loves Jesus? Tell me about it. And she said the thing that I didn't want her to say. Because you're a pastor. That's like answer zero. No, I mean, if somebody walked in right now and somebody didn't know anything about us and lived here for a week and then went on, what do you think they would think? That you're nice. Well, that's not exactly. You know, what about praying and loving and No. You know, you want to hear something because you know what? Your kids know the truth. They see you. What does your wife think about your Christianity? What does your husband think about your Christianity? What does your boss think? What do your employers think about you being the boss in your Christianity? What do your neighbors think? And I began to look at that stuff, and I began to realize for a moment, God, I want to be a healthy person in Christ. I need your help. Before I ever lay hands on somebody and pray for them, Lord, may it be within my heart's desire to have you preeminent in my life. Or else I'm playing church. We're playing church. If we're not loving, if we're not compassionate, if we're not doing God's work in his way. Wherever we go, we spread something in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, jot it down. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Fragrance. "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are being lost. To the one, we are an aroma of death leading to death. And to another, we are an aroma of life leading to life." And Paul says, who's sufficient for these things? Meaning this, if I watch your life and you watch my life, am I going to lead you closer to Christ? And are you going to lead me closer to Jesus? That's an aroma of life. To those who don't know Christ, our life, our preaching, our love, they just go, who needs it? We're an aroma of death unto them. But everywhere we go as a Christian, what are we doing? Who are we? An aroma. I don't know. An aroma. Maybe for me, an odor. I don't know. I begin to think. And here comes Pigpen. You ever see that little guy in the Charlie Brown cartoon? Everywhere he goes, these fumes are coming off of his body. And he walks over to Lucy's house, and all the daisies wilt and fall on the doorstep when he walks by. And there's some people like that. You're in their presence, and you want to take a shower after they leave. You feel defiled. Then there are those, you can't explain it, they just seem to have Jesus about them. They're forgiving, and they're gentle. The apostles and the believers had a tremendous power, but they were very loving and very approachable. They were very healthy in the spirit. And God has promised us, we read it in the Proverbs this morning, he's not a respecter of persons. We are not to have partiality, nor does God. And what he has given them, he will give us. And the issue for some this morning is eternal life today. I don't care if you're healthy this morning. I don't care if you're feeling well. I don't care if you're rich. I care if you die today, where will you go? And in a moment, we're going to ask you to make a decision for Jesus Christ, if there's one in here, to say yes to him. Why don't we right now pray and call upon the name of the Lord? Father, this morning, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would move upon this house and upon these people who have come, Father. No show, no hype, no pump. Father, we would ask right now, and I want every Christian praying, if you're a Christian, be praying. If you've never publicly confessed Jesus Christ in your life, the Bible says that we need to proclaim him publicly. And I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up if you want to accept Jesus Christ. We'll give you a Bible and help you along in your walk. But you want to say yes to Jesus. Nobody looking around. I'll see your hand and you can choose Christ right now before God, and I'll be your witness. You'd like to say yes to Jesus now, publicly, once and for all. Why don't you slip your hand up right now? You want to receive him. You're going to walk after him. You're going to be committed to him. Raise your hand high so I can see it, and then I'll have you put it back down. God bless you. Anyone else would like to have the peace and the power? God bless you too. in knowing that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, that the power that He has can be given to you, that He will change you. You don't change yourself. He'll do it. But you realize this morning you need Jesus. You want Him. You're not going to join a church. You're not going to give money. None of that. You're just going to say yes to Him. Raise your hand right now. God bless you. Don't worry about what those are around you thinking. What matters is what the Lord knows. You want to receive Christ once and for all. God, that this morning by your Holy Spirit's moving and working, you have drawn, Father, those that are to be saved into your camp. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we pray this morning, perhaps, Father, those that may not know you and there's a struggle going on with that inside of them, they don't understand it all. Lord, you didn't ask them to understand it all just yet, but just to make the decision. Father, speak to them, lead them, and guide them. Lord, we praise you for your goodness and for your grace in our lives. And we ask these things, Father, to the glory and to the praise of your holy and awesome Son. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Just What the Doctor Ordered. Thanks for listening. And like a healthy relationship, a healthy church, when God's living water is flowing, can never become stagnant. Just What the Doctor Ordered. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you responded to Pastor Jack's call to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to know about it. And if you're not sure what to do next, let us help you by pointing you in the right direction. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org also has a Know God tab that gives special presentations of the gospel to help reaffirm your decision for Christ. Pastor Jack also offers devotions to help deepen your walk with God, and you can access all that by downloading the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet. The Real Life app is designed to give you easy access to a variety of resources, including the Real Life TV broadcast and the Real Life daily audio broadcast. That includes previous episodes, by the way. So check out the Real Life app at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. You know, I want to tell you about the Happening Now events on Facebook Live because, you know, there really is a lot going on in the world today, and Pastor Jack says that every church should be on a healthy diet of Bible prophecy. What the Bible says about the church can be a difficult topic to tackle, but thankfully, Bible prophecy is a passion for Pastor Jack. He really helps to break it down. And get this, you can even text in questions during the event. These events are very interesting, so you don't want to miss it. The next one is July 25th, 7 p.m., that's Pacific time. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Jack's Facebook page or go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org to get the link for the Happening Now events live on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.